So we are kicking off the January edition of Overheard with Molly Donahue. She's a producer here for our creative unit, which produces Word of Mouth and Outside In. Emily Quirk, our fundraising producer, is here. Hello, Emily.
Hello.
Welcome.
Glad to be here.
I'm really glad to have you. So, Molly, you want to start off today? What have you got?
I would love to start off today. So I have a clip from the podcast Undone. It's from Gimlet. And what they do is they take news stories from a couple years ago that have now had updates to them, like sort of codas. And this one is their second episode. It's called The Ancient One. And it's about the story, you might have seen it in the news recently, about the Kennewick Man. It's a prehistoric skeleton found in the Northwest back in 1996 by two students who were playing around in the woods and found a human skull. And they took it to the police, and the police took it to these anthropologists, who then said, oh, it looks Caucasoid, which set off a lot of, you know, excitement in the media that maybe this was a white person from, like, thousands of years ago.
And when is it supposed to be dated?
So it's about 9,000 years old in carbon dating. So it's much older than any records of Native Americans in the area. So this kicked up a lot of controversy because anthropologists want to study this. This is one of the best preserved skeletons of that age in the United States. But Native American activists insisted that the skeleton be returned to them.
Because it was found on their land, traditional land,
well,
or something?
Well, it's found on federal land. So it belonged to the Army Corps. The Army Corps decides they're going to return the skeleton to Native Americans, and it gets locked in a legal battle for years. And it's stored in the basement of this museum. So this clip starts off with a woman called Kim Tallbear talking about the legacy of the United States being really terrible about Native American remains. So we'll just jump into it.
So for Kim, watching all this go down with Kennewick Man felt familiar. Exactly the thing that NAGPRA, the law meant to return remains to Native families, was designed to stop. And it was because of NAGPRA that the tribes thought, we can win this. And they were partly right. Kennewick Man did meet one criteria of the law. He was found on federal land, a park owned by the Army. But there's another part of the law. You have to prove he's related to your specific group of people. Doug Owsley and the scientists said, you can't do that. There was no DNA evidence, genetic testing had been tried, but it was inconclusive, and archaeological evidence only shows the local tribes in that area for the past few thousand years. Before that, scientists aren't really sure who was there. This is the argument Doug's side makes in court. The tribal side argued, scientific evidence isn't the only kind of evidence.
You know, we have oral traditions of people watching the Ice Age floods.
This is Jackie Cook, an archaeologist with the Colville, one of the other tribes from the area where Kennewick Man was found. The floods she's talking about would have happened about 13,000 years ago.
Oral traditions of mammoth, that's what the people saw.
There's no written record. There's no oral histories of non-Indians in this area 9,200 years ago.
This fight in court went on for a long time. Finally, in 2002, the judge issued a ruling.
Ruled that the Kennewick Man was not Native American, and therefore NAGPRA does not apply.
So that's how it ended in 2002. The anthropologists received this body back and have been doing tests on it ever since. But as the podcast goes on to explain, there's been a major shift in the case just recently. And should I reveal it? Should people go listen? I don't know.
Jeez. Give us a little tease. Is there any tease that you can...
So this DNA scientist in Europe recently received some of the parts of Kennewick Man.
Genetic material,
and was able to do DNA analysis that previously they thought wasn't possible.
And proves that it's Native American.
And has now proved that it is more closely linked to the Native tribes in that area than to any other group of living people.
What a story.
Science.
Have you listened to, is this sort of typical for Undone science stories, or they just do any story that...
I think they do any story in the news that has, like, sort of everybody thought it was settled years ago, and then all of a sudden something comes up and it's reopened.
I mean, just my first is that 13,000 years ago, oral histories, we've been here such a sliver of time, and how freighted everything is with relationships with Native Americans and the new Americans that arrived. It really is complicated.
It's really complicated, yeah.
And science kind of cutting through it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I feel a little guilty because mine is also from Gimlet Media.
Oh.
I brought a little bit from Homecoming. Now, this is their experimental fiction podcast. And, you know, as we know, the podcasting revolution, a lot of it is about that kind of unscripted, just a couple people talking, sitting around. Not that that's necessarily bad. It's a lot of it can be great. So this is, I would say, you know, if that is reality TV, then this is like the prestige drama, you know, that HBO might put together. There are other scripted podcasts, fiction podcasts. Nothing, though, with this kind of writing and this high caliber of actors. Some of the people who worked on it from NPR and McSweeney's who went over to Gimlet. And the actors, phenomenal. Catherine Keener, Oscar Isaac, David Schwimmer. Really great stuff, but here's the backstory. So Catherine Keener plays this woman, Heidi. She's pretty much keeping a low profile, working as a waitress at a diner, and this investigator comes in and asks her about the Homecoming Initiative, where she used to work. So there we jump back and forth to where she's been a therapist, working at a secret government facility, and she's treating recently returned U.S. soldiers with the idea that they're adjusting to civilian life, helping them adjust. One of her patients is Walter Cruz, and he's Oscar Isaac. And here he's just run through this incident involving him and another former soldier. They busted out of the facility. His friend went into like a PTSD spiral and attacked a security guard at a retirement community. Then they both, you know, realize what happened, shake it off, and suggest they could get jobs there as guards. But here's Oscar Isaac and Catherine Keener playing Heidi and Walter in Homecoming.
What's the thing called where you make someone do push-ups until he throws up?
Smoke them.
Yeah, Schreier would smoke the old folks and just shape them right up, right?
Yeah, oh my God, he would do that. He's like a big kid. He's just been having a tough time. They'll keep that in mind, right?
Who will?
If there needs to be any disciplinary action, or you'll tell them that, right? It was basically my fault.
Mm-hmm.
Schreier. He's a good guy.
So that's the end of a segment. They all end like, whoop.
Wow.
I mean, as you as a producer, do you hear that sound and just think, this is good stuff?
I'm going to listen more in on that.
Well, so it's just such a testament to good acting. You know, they sound naturalistic and open and, you know, they're laughing with each other and suddenly the thing shifts and suddenly she's in charge again. But some of the best segments are actually with Catherine Keener playing Heidi on the phone with her boss, who's David Schwimmer. He's always, you know, traveling someplace. He's in Dubai. There's always a bad cell connection. There's always this little power shift. He's definitely not present, you know, in these conversations. And things get revealed about her as a therapist and also the questionable ethics of the work they're doing. Here, we'll play another clip.
And we're sure that none of this is tied to errors in the cafeteria.
The cafeteria? No. What do you mean?
We're getting full attendance at the lunches, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Everyone's getting full doses.
Yes. Well, as far as we can tell, given that we're administering the medication in this unconventional... As I've said, we could be more precise if we just medicated in pill form.
Yeah, look, I can't keep going over that.
All right, well, you asked about the dosage, and that's an area...
Heidi, we're dealing with a highly paranoid, highly unstable group. All right? I mean, that's why they're there. Consistent, voluntary compliance just isn't a luxury we have with this population. Now, if you don't feel confident that the cafeteria
is correctly... It's not that, but we could be far more precise, Colin.
So,
I think I just, whenever I listen to fiction podcasts, I feel like they take you out at some point. Like, you can tell people are acting, and this just sounds, the production is so high.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's what I felt like on movies or TV shows. You know, you have the visual imagery, you have the effects or whatever, and you can do a not great performance and it's still communicating. But this is just the voice. And, you know, you think about it, they're in a soundstage or, you know, in a studio somewhere with maybe just a little bit of noise in the background.
It's kind of funny to hear David Schwimmer in there, too, because, you know, most people know him from Friends, which is this, you know, ridiculous sitcom from the 90s, and to hear him in such a serious role is kind of interesting. And he does a really good job.
He's really good in this, I have to say. There are only 6 episodes. They're only half hour each, so it's not a huge time investment. It's called Homecoming. from Gimlet Media. And that is one of the things that we're sharing for Overheard today. Molly Donahue is with me, and Emily Quirk, she is NHPR's fundraising producer, a first to Overheard. What have you got, Emily?
Well, the clip I picked is from Miss Sharon Jones. It's a documentary about the late soul singer and her then comeback from cancer. And I saw the film when it came out in theaters here in New Hampshire. I think it was early last fall, but I recently rewatched it because it's now available on Netflix. And I love her for a few different reasons. First being, I am a huge fan of soul music, and I love her old school R&B sound. But also because of her backstory, she didn't really make her way as a soul singer until she was about 40 years old. And before that, I think she did a run as a prison guard. I think she was a wedding singer for a little while. And so the fact she broke through so late in life is really amazing to me. And so here in the clip, she's referring to the cover of The Village Voice, on which her face is first and foremost. And yeah, I think it's a really great clip.
In church, we used to sing this song. I mean, it was Sister Bullock, and she used to always sing this song. May the works I've done speak for me. May the work I've done speak for me. And this just, you know, when she like, when I've done the best I can, I want my friends to understand, may the works I've done, you know. And it's just that, I just believe that now what I'm doing, it all this hard work is finally paying off, you know. And that's my goal. That was my goal all these years, just to do good music and to get out here and be recognized. I mean, of course you're gonna become a star and all that kind of stuff. I never had in my head that I wanna be a star. I think all the time when I had in my head I wanted to be a star, nothing happened. And when I just said, you know what, I just wanna sing and use this gift and people love me, you know, for my voice, not the way I look, and enjoy my music. And that seems to be happening right now. To see me, the same woman that the guy from Sony said I was too fat, too black, too short and too old. And look at me now, you know.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh, and bittersweet because she died.
She did pass away. She passed away this past November after the cancer came back. But yeah, I mean, I just love what she said. It's just so nice to remember that it's never too late to reinvent yourself. And if you put in the hours, you put in the work, if you don't worry too much about the naysayers and just try to enjoy the here and now, it's possible to get where you want to go. And I really dig that.
That's a great message for beginning 2017.
It's so inspiring.
Yes, I'm inspired to stay with the process. That's what it's all about. We should go out with a Sharon Jones song. What have you got in mind?
How about When the Other Foot Drops, Uncle? That's a good one.
Let's hear it.
All the way you lie to get your taste, Uncle.
Emily Quirk, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. And Molly Donahue, always a pleasure.
It's a pleasure for me as well.
Links to all of the things we chose for Overheard this month are at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.